And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And thank you again to The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean, and special in-studio guest Patrick Hatton from Metro Phoenix Bank. And this is exciting because one of my oldest shows of all time is the Green Roundtable right now, every first Tuesday from 3 to 4, starring Eric Koss and Frank Clemente. Guys, how are you?
Good.
How are
you
doing? Well, thank you.
Wow, you said that like Donnie Marie. You're singing it together. Say that again. How are
you? Do most people out there even know? I guess most people know who Donnie and Marie are.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a very young audience, so I guess that's okay.
Oh, I love Donnie and Marie. You remember, Frank, Donnie and Marie?
I remember Ozzie and Harriet.
Oh, my gosh. You don't have to go that way. Yeah, that's really going back. Anyway, Eric Koss, of course, Koss Design and Build, a great architect and a designer. Am I right?
Yeah, we do architecture and construction.
Oh, and construction.
Yeah, he oversees construction as well, manages it.
Nicely done. Project manager type.
You learn something new every day, huh?
Yes, it's incredible. I just said the oldest show, and I should have known that. Anyway, Frank Clemente.
This is a school of hard knocks.
Yeah, oh, that's Fort Knox with all the gold. Clemente Sustainable Design. Frank,
yes.
Welcome again.
Thank you very much. We do sustainable landscaping and also once in a while a sustainable home.
And what I like about you guys, you live and breathe green. I mean, you definitely have a passion for this, and that's a credit to you. Versus people just getting into the industry because there's nothing else to do. But you guys have lived this for a long time, and I appreciate both of you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we attributed a lot of our success to reverse marketing.
Oh, there we go. Okay. And we'll have to explain that later to the listeners. Anyway, joining us live, I believe, all the way from Canada, we're really excited to have, and I think I'll pronounce this correctly, Zoe Caron. Zoe, how are you?
Great, thanks. How are you?
Oh, very good. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Perfectly, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, you're the spokesperson for the World Wildlife Fund Canada. And let me introduce you to Eric and Frank. Eric and Frank.
Hi there, Zoe. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
All right.
Keep it short.
And that was Frank. So, Zoe, of course, we sort of connected up through the National Hockey League. Earth Hour was, of course, last Saturday, March 31st, or was that? Yeah, that was Saturday. And I've dealt with them quite a bit, and it was so nice of them to connect us together because the Green Roundtable has the same passion that you do. And why don't you explain a little bit about World Wildlife Fund for our listeners?
Sure. Well, I mean, we are a global environmental organization, and we have a global campaign called Earth Hour that started about 5 years ago out of Australia, where someone had the idea of creating a visual of what it looks like for people to come together for a collective action. And so they thought of turning off the lights for a whole hour. And the idea was to create a symbol of coming together to act on climate change. And it's become a rallying point for community events around the world, and has exploded beyond our expectations. So this year, in our fifth year, we had 6,500 cities and towns around the world in over 150 countries participating. And it's really become kind of an environmental New Year's, so to speak, where it's a time for people to come together and see how many other people care about climate change and the environment and talk about community issues and create action plans or just have a community get together. So it's a great point for everyone to come together on, and it's a symbolic celebration.
Well, I don't know if you how much you know about it, but were there any kind of real strange or quirky or interesting ways different groups around the world were sort of celebrating Earth Hour? I know for my wife and I, we had everything turned off at the house. We were sitting outside, actually drinking some wine, and then we started reading a book via the light of our next door neighbor's backyard, which probably wasn't the intent of Earth Hour, but it's how we ended up spending part of it. So I was curious how you spent yours and if you just heard any other interesting stories at all.
Well, one really cool thing that we did this year was an astronaut asked if he could participate because he was already going to be up in space during Earth Hour. And so we partnered with Dutch astronaut André Kuipers, who monitored, photographed, and broadcast live commentary as the world's lights flickered out in every single time zone around the world. So that was amazing to have him on board. Of course, the NHL arenas all participated, and we had our mascot panda on the ice at one of the games on Saturday night. In Britain, I believe they had a banquet of Chinese food on a TV show where they had energy-reducing methods, with the nation's top chefs. And all the way down to, you know, here in Toronto, we simply had a big community gathering with about 500, 600 people, and we sang an Earth Hour anthem that over 900 Canadians participated in writing. So it's, you know, it really runs the gamut, and people get...
Can we get that on YouTube or iTunes?
You can. You can download it on iTunes, yeah.
All right.
It's called When the Lights Go Down.
This is Frank. What inspired you to initiate this program?
Well, again, our team in Australia thought up the idea, and I think it came from the frustration of you know, individuals take action every single day, and we do things in our daily lives or our jobs that are really concrete on the environment, but it's often hard to remember how many of us there are out there working for concrete change. And so they thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a really powerful visual of how many people really care? And so the idea was, well, let's simply turn off the lights, you know, because most of the problem is, of course, coming from industrialized countries. So what a better way to show a visual than by turning off the lights? And it because it was so simple to become involved on various scales, you know, you can have landmarks that turn off their lights, everything from the Leaning Tower of Pisa to the Eiffel Tower to the CN Tower in Toronto to the Great Wall of China, all turning off their lights just became a really powerful visual. So and it just, of course, has become much more than that. It's become something that people rally around on an annual basis and has become a bit of a tradition, which is really nice to see.
Now, are you publishing a book or anything of this nature, or what? Any documentation that's going along with this?
On the campaign Earth Hour, not that has been planned. I mean, we document it online every single year. EarthHour.org kind of keeps tally, but no plans for a book. But maybe one day if it continues to be a success. But of course, I mean, what we really work towards is once people become engaged in Earth Hour, of course, is to engage those people, many of whom are becoming, you know, engaged in an environmental act for the first time, you know, keeping them on board and showing them how they can then take action in their homes and their communities and become politically involved and, you know, start meeting with their elected officials. And it's a starting point for a deeper growth, I think, for involvement on taking action on the environment.
Thank you very much.
So Zoe, you're listed here as a climate policy and advocacy specialist.
It's a tongue twister, I know.
It is. I couldn't just say it. I had to make sure I read it right off the page.
I've asked for a title review.
Well, let's see. CPAS. We'll just call you that.
My
well,
mom calls me Spaz for short.
I like that. Well, can you tell us a little bit more, you know, about that? I know here at ASU or in Phoenix, where ASU is nearby in Tempe, they've got one of the few universities that have a school of sustainability. I think it's been around for about 5 years. And they, you know, I always run into kids here and there that are talking about what they can do with their degree and where they can branch off. And I'm assuming what you're doing is probably going to, you know, roll right into that. So I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about kind of what got you into what you're doing and what, you know, what you're doing on a daily basis. What kinds of things are you taking part of?
Sure. Well, I started off in an undergraduate environmental science program, and from there learned about a campus sustainability project that was in Canada, where students were basically trained to work on multi-stakeholder projects to institutionalize sustainability. So working with the administration and facilities management and various professors as well as students to get a director of sustainability in place, to get a policy for sustainability in place. And then from there, I was hired with, I guess, the Sierra Club Canada, who was helping run that campaign, and then later joined forces with the Campus Climate Challenge, which was a Canada and U.S. initiative to get campuses to reduce their emissions, again, student-led, and that engaged about 500 campuses across Canada and the U.S., and that kind of started, I guess, my work in climate change. And then started studying climate change science. And then, I guess, through my work with Sierra Club, co-authored Global Warming for Dummies with the then executive director of Sierra Club in Canada, Elizabeth May. From there just became, I guess, known as someone who could speak about climate change and ended up at the World Wildlife Fund doing climate change work. And I guess since then, of course, climate change, as you know, of course, is often coincides with energy issues. So I've had to become a bit of an expert in energy as well, hand in hand. So working on a lot of renewable energy policy is what I do on a day-to-day basis. So whether that's educating the public about sustainable types of energy, including energy conservation and efficiency, of course, and how that relates to climate change, to, you know, lobbying, to media, to public awareness campaigns. So it really depends on, I guess, what the issue is at hand, the issue of the day, what's happening in politics. But it's a very, very active position for sure.
Now, we're going to take a break here, but I'm going to squeak in one question before we go, and that is, I think this is going to kind of be my political correctness ignorance here. Global warming, climate change, exact same thing, or are they different in the grand scheme? I always think of them as the same thing, but maybe these terms and terminology, what's your take on that?
I use them interchangeably.
Okay.
Originally, it was global warming, and then it was changed to climate change. I'm not sure when, but to both. I guess, encompass the bigger picture of it. But
I think that was so people that were against global warming could jump on the climate change bandwagon. That's my personal opinion, but...
And you're sticking to it.
Right.
There you go.
So, Zoe, can you hang on for a few more, couple more minutes?
Sure.
And we'll take a quick break right now. And of course, we're talking to Zoe Curran, World Wildlife Fund Canada, otherwise known as WWF Earth Hour, we were talking about, actually Earth Hour, but WWF, there might be a story behind that when we come back. We're going to ask Zoe about WWF. It's not what people really think when they think of WWF, is it? But anyway, we'll talk.
What do they think of, Dave?
I will tell you right after the break, and we'll talk with Zoe right away, 2 minutes. See you then.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Time One On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
If you're concerned that you are making financial decisions on information that may be incorrect or not up to date, Birnbaum and Spean can help. We are certified QuickBooks advisors. Let us review your financial data to make sure it is accurate and up-to-date. We can also review the setup and procedures used to avoid the costly decisions as you grow your business. Call Mitchell Spean, CPA and QuickBooks Pro Advisor at 602-266-5633 to get started.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable starring Eric Koss and Frank Clementi. And we're really honored to have Zoe Curran on the phone, all the way from Toronto, World Wildlife Fund Canada, a great organization really helping to preserve Earth, let's say that, and much more than that. And we do want to thank Nicole Buckley Communications for the NHL for setting this up. And Zoe, when we left on the break, we talked about WWF, and of course, a lot of people, if you say WWF, what do people think of?
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's what people, and of course, they changed their name to WWE,
I believe we asked them nicely to do that.
That's what I've heard. So that was interesting because they're sort of a big organization, WWF. And do you ever get calls saying, hey, when's the next WrestleMania?
not calls, but it's certainly a comment in my daily life for sure.
Yeah, I believe it. Okay, Eric, I think you had another question.
Well, I was just curious, you know, you're based out of Canada. I'm sure you're dealing, you know, whether it's the NHL or, you know, all these different organizations and you sort of have a global presence. What types of things do you see, and this might be on a more personal level, I think about sustainability for your average Canadian and sustainability for your average American. And my mom was actually born and raised in Norway, so I have sort of this own opinion of kind of, you know, what my family in Norway thinks about what's sustainable to them as to maybe what's sustainable to my neighbor here in Phoenix. And I was just curious if you had any thoughts on that, if there's any major differences or maybe even just minor differences that you see between the two cultures.
I'm not sure I see major differences between Canadians and Americans. I mean, except for maybe that, you know, in Canada, we just happen to have more untouched land in our backyard. So there is certainly pride about that, but I don't think that that's missing in the U.S. either. I mean, there are certainly beautiful national parks and areas mm-hmm. in the U.S. as well. I think where the real culture difference is between Americans and Canadians and the rest of the world, because I think that, you know, Europe and even in China and India, there's a much deeper understanding of what needs to be done on climate change, where it seems to have become a real polarized political discussion in Canada and the U.S. So where a lot of people still think that there's a debate about climate change, where elsewhere in the world there really isn't a debate. And so I think that's kind of what we're stuck in. And it's always refreshing to be on the phone with global colleagues who aren't dealing with those issues anymore. But I think that it's something that we still struggle with in Canada and the U.S.
Zoe, this is Frank. One of the things is that I noticed that you've established sort of what I call an anchor. And what this does is stimulates people to think about climate change, or they think about the planet, or they think about the environment. And what would you say is important for people, the average person, whatever that is, in Canada or the world, that what they should be doing aside from recognizing the value of preserving our planet and our resources?
I think that people have forgotten or maybe have never known how powerful their own voice can be when it comes to being involved politically. And that doesn't necessarily mean involving a political party, although that certainly is one way to go. But I think being in touch with your elected officials at every single level, whether that's, you know, municipal or statewide or provincial-wide or federal, I can't count the number of times that politicians have come to me and said, okay, that's great that, you know, as an organization you're asking me this, and that's great that you represent so many people, but until
the yes but concept.
Yeah, until we hear from our constituents, we're not going to move on it. And it only takes, a handful of people to really get an elected official thinking about something and thinking that they have to respond. Sometimes it's just one person, you know, that gets them saying, oh, okay, people are paying attention to this. And I think that goes for us as consumers, too. You know, if, you know, writing to a company if you don't agree with the way that they're producing their products, or if they're not producing a product that you want that's environmentally friendly, I think it really goes across the board in terms of how we communicate with each other, in terms of the future that we want to see and the lives that we want to live. Because too often are we stuck at our dining room tables talking to each other about it, but it doesn't reach out beyond that.
Right, right. Do you have any celebrities or leaders that are advocates of what you're doing?
Well, in the United States, and well, I suppose globally, it's a global campaign. Leonardo DiCaprio is spearheading our tigers campaign. So we have a target globally to double the amount of tigers in the wild by 2022, which is the next year of the tiger. And so that certainly helps get the word out and brings in people that wouldn't otherwise maybe hear the message mm-hmm. right away. And, of course, here in Canada, we have our hockey star, Scott Niedermeyer. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the country for sure and what speaks to people. But celebrities do certainly help.
Does the WWF endorse political candidates?
No.
Okay. So you try to stay out of that arena to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly comment on policies. Mm-hmm. We support policies that are before it if they're in line with what we're asking for, but individual candidates, no.
Well, that brings up the idea of regulations. Have you been influencing regulations, say, at the school level, at the business level, at government level? Have you seen any changes in that arena or in those arenas?
At the business level, we've probably had the most success in recent years, I would say. We have a program called Climate Savers, where companies sign on and pledge, and there is a strict set of criteria that they have to meet that includes emission reductions as well as their own climate change plan and assessment of what their emissions are currently and a plan to move that forward. And then we work with them to make that happen. So that's been a great success, and businesses are willing to lead on that front, sometimes more so than governments, depending on the country. Certainly, we also work on regulation, at the state and provincial level as well as at the federal level. Obviously, sometimes more successful than other times,
yes.
But depending on the political environment. But we do that on a day-to-day basis as well, across the board, whether it's conservation or freshwater or climate change. We have people working on that around the clock.
How much influence or how much work do you do in all those areas you just mentioned, in areas like China and India, or maybe even Brazil for that matter, places where developing countries that are really industrializing?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a huge team working in China, and China actually is one of our top 13 focus projects globally. Understanding that it plays a huge part in the world's future, basically, on conservation, on climate change, you name it. So that's certainly one of our focuses, and we have a big team on the ground there. We have offices in, I think it's 100 countries around the world now with
oh, wow.
staff. So it's we certainly have people, in India and various emerging economies and developing countries around the world. Our Tigers campaign, of course, is very heavily centered out of India and Nepal. So it's definitely, while we do have a global office and global headquarters, the on-the-ground conservation work and localized campaigns happen kind of in the place where they are.
Thank you. What do the Tigers feel about this?
I hope they're as hopeless as we are. it's certainly a sad state of affairs for both tigers and giant pandas. Those are kind of the two species uh-huh. that always come to my mind.
Okay.
The tigers, I mean, as major mammals, as a lot of big mammals, they need
yeah.
a lot of space to survive.
They do. The white ones especially.
I thought you meant the Detroit Tigers. What do I know? Okay. So, anyway, I think any other questions, Eric or Frank?
No.
No, Zoe, you've been great. We really appreciate you. How do people get involved, though? And what can they do to help? And is there contact information, contributions, volunteer, that type of stuff?
Certainly. If you go to panda.org and then click on your country, or I guess it's worldwildlife.org in the U.S., you can get involved in any office around the world. And it totally varies whether you volunteer for a fundraising event or volunteer for public education events. We're always interested in having people. In Canada, we have a website called the Living Planet Community, where we have about 100,000 Canadians signed up and doing actions on a daily basis and sharing those with each other. So there are a lot of ways to get involved, and we always welcome people to join us.
Well, Zoe, Karen, we really appreciate you. We could sense your passion and really the willingness to make the planet a better place. We really appreciate you, spokesperson for World Wildlife Fund. And we'll have you on again because this is such an important topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having
me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And that was Zoe Caron, World Wildlife Fund Canada, all the way from Toronto. And again, thank you to the National Hockey League, Nicole Buckley, for setting up this interview. And she was fantastic.
Yeah, great. Very, really passionate, really knowledgeable.
And what a great organization. So we hope people get involved. And because she did mention one thing, it does seem to be political for some reason out here.
Well,
and I don't know.
Well, there's no way you could start something like that and not have some political part of it.
Yeah, good point. And we'll have to get, hey, we should have a debate on that coming up maybe next month. Go. Hey, wouldn't that be fun?
There you go.
Let's get both sides. Rock and roll. It will be WWF, the old-fashioned way, World
now,
Federation.
Now, David, are we going to get into controversy?
Yeah, you bet we will. Okay. Let's do it. Anyway, let's take a quick break right now. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion. We'll have another surprise segment, right? Eric has something that might be interesting to the listeners. What do you think?
Let's hope so.
I think so. That was a great segment anyway. And we'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hirschberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hirschberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hirschberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable every first Tuesday of the month from 3 to 4. And, of course, we just had spokesperson for World Wildlife Fund Canada, Zoe Caron, and she was fantastic. You can always sense someone that has a real passion for what they do. And passion.
And power.
And compassion. Yeah. Power and power. Empowerment.
Empowerment, yeah.
Wow, we could play the word game. Okay, but that was really good, and we really encourage people to get involved. Panda.org, I believe she said, was one of the websites. And I think she also said
World Wild
and Living Life Planet Community.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah, that's that one too. World Wildlife
Fund.
All right.
It's smooth, yeah. Radio here.
Let's see if you could say that real fast. World Wildlife Fund. Three times. Frank.
World Wildlife Fund.
Wow, that was good. Do it again three times.
Worldwide Fund.
What?
Worldwide Fund.
Okay. All right. Maybe it worked. Just say WWF. Okay, there we go. Anyway, Eric, you have a surprise segment for us.
I was kind of digging around a little bit this weekend, and I stumbled across Popular Science's 50 Greenest Cities. 50 Greenest Cities.
50 Greenest Cities. That's going to be interesting. Let's have some multiple choice or some. Give us some hints.
Well, first of all,
yes.
Do you think Phoenix is on it? And if so, where do you think they'd be?
No.
I'm going to say, okay, that's from
the
expert.
Frank, that was an adamant no.
I'm going to say, okay, 50
top
greenest.
50.
Depends on the criteria.
Give top us, 50 or
Top 50.
Top 50.
Now, keep in mind, we're the fifth largest city in the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us some of the criteria. Frank already said no, so I get the guess, but give me the criteria.
So Frank gets the guess based off nothing. You get the guess based off some solid information.
Exactly. See, Frank?
All right. We see how fair this is.
Yeah. You went too quick on your answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they broke it into kind of four criteria to rank this. The first one was electricity. And in each electricity, you could get a possibility of 10 points. And they were basing this on how cities are getting renewable sources for their energy, things like solar, biomass, hydroelectric, things like that. And how many installed solar panels in the city. So those are just some of the criteria they're looking at for electricity. Transportation was a possible 10 points, and that was mostly based on the extent of public transportation and how many people are actually using it. So here in Phoenix, now that we have a light rail, that's great, but then how many people are actually using that light rail? That's the question.
14.
There you go. The green living, a little subjective, that's number 3. You only get a total of 5 points there. And the big one was how many buildings were certified by the United States Green Building Council's green rating system. So that was kind of the biggie for getting points there.
So these are all quantitative issues.
Yeah, popular sense, they try to quantitate these things, give you amount of points, and then, spit out, hey, who got the most?
How many points on the fourth one, the certification?
The fourth one is green living was the third one. You could get 5 points. And then the fourth one is recycling and green perspectives. You could get 5 points there.
Oh, okay.
So how, comprehensive was the city's recycling program, what types of things they do recycle and collect, that sort of thing. So total of 30 points here.
I only get, 30. Okay.
You are the accountant here, correct?
I am the accountant. I just added, I added up real quickly. I almost kicked my mic off. I got so excited because I think I'm going to win on this one. Mr. Frank, I'm going to say yes, they are within the 50 qualifying cities.
And why did you say that?
Okay.
Just to get jab Frank or?
It's a left hook, not a jab. Right. I think solar, there's a lot of solar action here.
True.
And so I think that was good. That's 10 points. I think the light rail, I'm not sure how many people use it, but I think public transportation, they do try to keep that going out here in Phoenix. So I think that has some good pointages. Green living, because of you guys, I think the Green Roundtable rocks, and I think that makes some difference. And then recycling, I think there's a push for that. But I'm going to say yes, but I don't think they're in the top, but I'm going to say somewhere in the...
You're going to say they made it in the 50 somewhere.
They made it in the 50
somewhere. And I would say they're between 45 and 50.
Wait a minute, said
Frank,
no.
Do you want to change your answer?
Yeah. Oh. Wait, can I change my answer?
So you're going to stick with your answer, Frank?
45 and 50? You say yes?
Well, the cross is pretty tough. I don't know.
Well, the answer is... That was my own personal drum roll sound effect. No, Phoenix didn't make it.
Wow, Frank, you were right, except you did change your answer by saying
no, you guys didn't allow it. You guys didn't allow it.
So now all the things you said, Dave, I think are true.
Yeah.
It just kind of lets you know that there, even though all those things you said are true in Phoenix, and we do have a lot of green buildings certified, and we are recycling.
Yeah.
We do have, public transportation going now, and we probably do have a lot more solar per capita than most cities. Even though all that is true, there's still 50 cities ahead of us.
Yes. Wow, that's a great survey. So let's do guessing. I want to catch up to Frank.
I had read those statistics before.
Oh, no wonder. Well, that at least he's honest.
Did
about
he
it.
Tell you he subscribes to Popular Science?
Yeah, I think so. Now he's not popular anymore. Now, let's guess who was the top city. The top 5.
Oh yes, the top.
Yeah, why don't
city.
You guys give me each give me your who you think are so your top 3, and I'll
yeah,
tell
top
you where
three.
They where they ranked in the overall.
Oh my, okay, this okay, is a tough one.
Yeah, Frank,
Denver,
you give me
Denver,
one.
Denver, Colorado.
Okay, I'm gonna have to make my little list here.
I wanted to pick that one.
Well, but you can pick it.
Yeah, no. You can keep going.
I'm gonna go Seattle.
Okay,
let me.
Yeah, this is like fantasy baseball draft.
Yeah, this could.
Frank, we're back to you.
Yeah.
Oh, another one?
You're going to give me 3 total.
Houston, a city in Texas.
Which one?
Houston.
Going with Houston. Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Dave?
So you're going to Houston. Wow. Can you give me a hint?
There's only hundreds of cities left to choose from.
L.A. would be out of the question, I'm sure. Okay. So, wow, you're going with Houston. I'll go with San Antonio.
Okay. We got San Antonio. All right. One more from you, Frank.
I'm going to go for Atlanta.
Oh, wow. Atlanta? Okay.
Dave.
Oh, boy. Okay, let me think.
Well, geography is probably a big problem for Dave.
Yes. I don't even know what country we're in right now. Okay, let's see. I will go four, and here
just
we...
start thinking of all the different hockey or baseball teams and, kind of pick one there.
Okay.
Got to stick in the
Chicago,
States, though.
Chicago.
Winnipeg. No, wrong one. Okay, let's do... Dallas.
Oh.
Is that bad?
No, that's good.
Okay. So let's see who's closer. This is so exciting.
All right. Here we go. In the top 10.
Yeah, let's go 10 down.
I'm going to give you 10 down, and then you can kind of see how you guys fare. Number 10 is a city in Texas.
Ooh.
It's the only city in Texas.
Uh-oh.
Austin.
Oh, I wanted to say that. I couldn't remember it. Okay.
Well,
Austin.
You're not going to get any points.
Yeah,
for
no
not
points
remembering
for that
here.
One. Oh, so, Austin, you were sort of close.
Yeah, I was close to it.
Yeah, but yeah. No cigar.
So I'm kind of going through the list here, and actually, Laredo, Texas, is on here.
Uh-huh. Really? What number?
Number 39. Amarillo, oh. Texas, is on here at 34, and is it for the great state of Texas. Oh, I'm sorry. Fort Worth came in at 15.
Well, that's not too bad.
Gosh, that's right next to Dallas, but
do I get credit? Half credit?
No half credit on that one.
Oh, man. Okay.
Now, number 9. Frank gave it to you. You didn't take it. Chicago.
Oh, wow. Really? Chicago? I would never have guessed.
Yeah, Chicago actually has a pretty big green initiative. One of the things they talked about here is Chicago has a huge green roof program. They have more than 2.5 million square feet of city roofs that are supporting plant lives. And then their long-range term for parks and lakefront and green space within the city is another big reason. Plus, major public transportation system there. So that's kind of where they got a lot of their points.
Good
from.
Point. Transportation would be big there.
Yeah. All right. Number 8.
Ooh, 8.
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, good.
All right. Dave. I may be.
You got it.
Yeah, I may have the win if you don't get any more.
You may have it.
Seattle. Wow. So tell us about that. That's preserving all their green stuff.
Yeah, they had more than 20 public buildings were LEED certified. So that's USGBC. They had a lot of incentive programs for residents to install solar panels. So these aren't just, you know, state or utility, but these are actually city incentives.
Gotcha.
So that helped them a lot there. And they basically they have sort of under... Let's see, under kind of green living, they have a lot of just green festivals, green events, more so than most other cities do. So they gained a few extra points there, too.
All right, party in Seattle.
That's
next
right.
Week.
Number 7, I thought Frank would get this one.
Yeah.
Berkeley, California.
Berkeley?
It just seems like
Berkeley,
kind of city.
Berkeley, yes.
Yeah.
I love Berkeley.
Oh, you missed that one.
I did.
Oh, Berkeley, really? The home of the pepper spray? Oh, that was Stanford or something. No, what was that college, remember?
I have no idea.
No, they had a protest going on, and the police came over and did pepper spray.
Home of the pepper
spray. You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, it was horrible. Right. Okay, a little controversy.
Way to bring us down.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so number 6.
Number 6 is Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Oh.
How do you like? And that's kind of what's tough about this list. There's some pretty small cities on this list. You're thinking about the
Cambridge.
Top 20 population, I think they really looked at the top 100 population.
Massachusetts,
cities.
The home of Romney Care.
Absolutely. You're right.
So
Cambridge got listed as the best walking city.
Really?
Oh, take a walk.
That's what it means. How come? Because it was... clean and safe.
It was clean, and basically what they're citing here is
a lot of trees.
A lot of trees. Mm-hmm. Prevention Magazine apparently did a study, and that's what they categorize them as number one for a walking city. Just you can live and basically walk to all your amenities and everything you need. It's really easy not to have a car there.
Because the city is only 2 blocks long.
Kind of.
Wow. And it was 2 blocks high.
Yeah, that's right.
But they had a couple other things. The city is actually implementing climate protection plans on their own. And they all new major renovations and new construction within the city must meet LEED standards.
Oh, nice.
So you don't have to register with the Green Building Program of the United States, but you have to meet those. They're basically making that part of their building code.
Very nice.
So that's very cool. So yeah. Boston might even be part of it, too.
Yeah, you never know.
Could be.
Yeah. You never know. Number five, Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, I should have had that one. Right? We should have, right?
Eugene, the Emerald City, known for its natural green beauty.
Ooh, wow.
Yes, great transportation system. They received a transportation award. I guess they've received several. They're really pushing hybrid public transportation system.
Wow.
So that's how they won their specific award. They really promote cycling in Eugene. They make it as easy as possible for you to get around on your bike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bike paths everywhere, street paths for bikes, really biker-friendly city.
Oh, that is so cool. Should we take a break and do the next five after the break?
Yes, let's do it.
This is going to keep everyone in suspense. The next five, the green cities, counting down five to the top city. And when we come back, we'll disclose that. Eric knows, and maybe we'll still have the tiebreaker. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know if anyone's going to win, but we need one more
bonus
point.
Dave is in the lead right now.
I am
in the lead.
Yeah, and you know what LEED stands for. I learned it here on the Green Roundtable. We'll be right back.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Tie One On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable, every first Tuesday from 3 to 4, starring none other than Eric Koss and Frank Clemente, two of the greatest green people I've ever met.
Thank you.
And yeah, you're more than welcome. We are. I'm competing with Frank here on the top three greenest cities. I think. I don't think any of us are going to get the top three, but I do have. I picked Seattle, and that was in the top 10. So I'm in the lead.
That's very good.
I am in the lead. So we left off at number five.
You're the lead in the
The lead person. So number four, I think we're on.
We are at number four. So number five was Eugene.
Hmm.
Number four, Oakland, California.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
So we're noticing a trend. Pretty much the entire west coast or northwest of the country is on this list.
It's a temperate zone. Sort of the temperate
zone. That definitely helps. Some of the reasons they listed is Oakland has an abundance of fresh organic food. Apparently there's more access and just more quantity of organic food there than in most large cities. They have the nation's cleanest tap water. They got some points for that. They have hydrogen-powered public transportation. And the country's oldest wildlife refuge.
Wow.
And they'd also listed that they have a plan to have a zero waste and be oil independent as a city by 2012.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
We're there.
Really?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's really down the road. And that doesn't mean that people won't be driving cars there. They're meaning that city facilities, city run, you know, as an institution, they're going to try to be oil independent.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big deal, and it's a very aggressive time frame as well.
Well, let's make this even more suspenseful. Let's see if Frank and I can guess the next three.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much.
Yes.
All your other guests are not in the top three.
Okay, so
so now that you've kind of seen
the
trend.
So I'm leading 1-0, and I'm going to go for Portland in one of these.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Okay. And how about you, Frank? In one of the three, all we have to get is one of the
three.
This
is like the Powerball. This is the bonus.
Is the bonus. I'm going Portland.
Chicago.
No, they already said Chicago.
I'm just kidding.
He's trying to pull one over
Oakland.
On me. Yeah. So I say Portland. And you're saying, ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as dead time. However, Frank is thinking... Boom, 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 boom. Okay, you're
Kansas answer. City. Now, I know that's Kansas City. That's crazy. But anyway, it's a crazy one. But anyway.
Frank is thinking outside of the box.
Yes, he is.
Thinking outside of the box.
Number three. Somebody said it earlier. Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you should have picked that one.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good one.
Well, I know that one of the founders of Boston... He was an advocate of a lot of green industries.
Yeah, and he used to drink a lot of tea. Okay, bum, bum, bum.
What Boston got was they are doing their own Green by 2015 initiative. So their goal is they want to replace traditional taxi cabs with hybrid vehicles. They're trying to recycle their trash to power homes. They're promoting the use of more solar panels. They're actually promoting the use of electric motorbikes for transportation. Oh. And they just started the city's first annual Down to Earth conference. Actually, that was held in 2008, and they're doing that and building upon that. So this article doesn't get into the specifics of how they're actually going to implement some of these things, but apparently they have a plan, and they're sticking to it.
Nice.
So that is number three. That's Boston.
Now, should we guess the number? If Portland's not in the next two, then we need to do another guess.
So,
okay, I'm going to say New Hampshire.
That would be a state.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, that was Frank, by the way. Okay. So
I'll give you there's two left. I'll give you guys another two guesses.
Okay, another two guesses. Okay, go ahead, Frank.
No, go ahead, David.
All right. So,
well, and just so you know, one of you has got one of the top two.
Well, that's him.
You just going to give up on Kansas City?
Oh, no.
I'm going to say Kansas City.
No, I said that.
All right. He's got so. And actually, you got to go first last time. So if
Frank
can throw another one out there.
Besides
Kansas City?
Detroit.
All right.
You're kidding me.
I know I'm kidding you.
Dave?
Milwaukee.
All right. Number two.
Yes.
San Francisco.
Oh, you're kidding me. How is that possible?
It's right next to Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
America's solar energy leader.
Wow.
Cultural tolerance since the 1960s, the whole idea let's save the earth. Let's be more energy efficient. Here they call it peace, love, and solar power. They had one of the earliest and most innovative recycling programs. They have really high-end, technologically sophisticated recycling facilities. And last but not least, they're one of the first city. They were the first city to ban plastic grocery bags.
Great.
That concept supports an effort by the city to divert 75% of their waste from landfills by 2012. So that's by now. So hopefully they've done that.
Oh, my gosh. So number one, we got one more guess each?
No, actually, it's here. The question is it Kansas City or is it Portland?
Oh, I'm sticking with Portland.
Kansas City.
And the winner
is Portland.
The winner is Portland.
Portland. Oh, I did it. I can't believe it. What do I win, Eric?
You did it. You win. You are going to be a lucky guest on tomorrow's radio show from 2 to 4.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, this is very exciting. Portland.
Yeah, so Portland, they call it the city of microbrewery mania.
Really?
It's one of the few remaining independent, Powell's Books there. It's the largest of the few remaining independent booksellers. And the city got number one in sustainability. It was declared the most bikeable city in the United States for 200 miles of dedicated bike lanes. Oh. And let's see, for giving gas powered, to trying to reduce gas power traveling and everything they do. And for lessons in DIY, sustainable food sources, classes, container gardening, cheese making, beekeeping, they're basically the city is taking on all these things where they're trying to put basically the power in the hands of the people to be more green on a grassroots
Fantastic.
Effort.
Fantastic.
And that's
Fantastic.
Why they got number one.
That is incredible. So Phoenix has some work to do.
Phoenix has some work to do. Just so you know, Frank as Denver. That was number 19.
Oh, that's not too bad.
That is not too bad.
How about Atlanta? Was that on anything?
Atlanta is not on the list.
Not on the list.
Oh.
Kansas City, number 35.
Oh, you did pretty good, Frank.
Well, I also said Chicago, and I also said Boston, but...
Just at the wrong time.
At the wrong time.
That's like playing baseball when there's no game.
mean, or swing when the ball isn't there.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, so...
So, yeah, Frank did pretty good. You did pretty good, too, though. You got number one.
Yeah, number one, and I mentioned Seattle. That's my claim to fame. I'm sticking to it. So, that's exciting. So, let's see. Why don't we, with the remaining time, Eric, tell us what you do.
Well, I'm the owner of Cost Design, Cost Design Build. We're an architecture and construction company, and you can reach us on the web at kossdb.com.
Excellent. And that was great, what you that article, and interesting.
Very stimulating, for sure.
Very, and I won. Okay, Frank, what about you? How do people get in touch with you?
Clemente Design. My website is clementedesignisgreen.com. And we do sustainable landscaping and sustainable custom homes.
Excellent. Well, this was great. And again, thank you to Zoe Caron from the World Wildlife Fund Canada. That was excellent. We'll have her on again.
And the Tigers.
Yeah, Detroit Tigers. Okay. And we'll pursue this. We're going to look at other major sports leagues, major businesses that are really active in helping in such an important issue, climate change, and that's going to be very, very important. Eric and Frank, thank you so much. See you next
thank
month.
You.
That's going to be very, very good with another excellent guest. Everyone have a great night. Go Coyotes tonight against Columbus. Be there, Jobby.com Arena. Last home game in the regular season. Better be out there. Playoffs are coming. They're in the seventh spot. We'll be on tomorrow. Breakthrough Sports, 2 to 4. Everyone have a great night. See you tomorrow.